This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of multiple sclerosis from the basic science section on orthobullets.com. Multiple sclerosis is a chronic inflammatory disease that causes demyelination and widespread axonal injury in the central nervous system, leading to motor and sensory dysfunction. Again, multiple sclerosis is a chronic inflammatory disease that causes demyelination and widespread axonal injury in the central nervous system, leading to motor and sensory dysfunction. As far as the epidemiology, multiple sclerosis has an incidence of 5 per 100,000 people in the United States. As far as the demographics, it typically affects people 20 to 40 years old, women are more affected than men, and people in northern latitudes tend to be more affected. As far as risk factors for multiple sclerosis, with respect to genetics, it's not considered a hereditary disease. Again, multiple sclerosis is not considered a hereditary disease. Environmental risk factors include stress, smoking, and decreased sunlight/low vitamin D exposure. As far as the pathophysiology of multiple sclerosis, it's believed to be caused by a combination of genetic, environmental, and infectious factors, and recent research suggests a T-cell-mediated autoimmune mechanism. Associated orthopedic conditions with multiple sclerosis includes increased fracture risk, osteoporosis, gait abnormalities, as well as muscle and joint spasticity. With respect to increased fracture risk, this is relating to an increased risk of falling and decreased bone mineral density. Osteoporosis relates to physical inactivity, vitamin D deficiency, and immunomodulatory medications. Gait abnormalities can be secondary to muscle paralysis causing foot drop, etc. As far as the prognosis of multiple sclerosis, patterns of disease progression includes remitting relapsing, which is the most common, primary progressive, secondary progressive, and progressive relapsing. As far as life expectancy for patients with multiple sclerosis, it is 5 to 10 years lower than that of unaffected people. As far as the presentation of multiple sclerosis, the history is clinically defined by two or more episodes of neurologic dysfunction, whether involving the brain, spinal cord, or optic nerves, that are separated in time and space. Again, multiple sclerosis is clinically defined by two or more episodes of neurological dysfunction, whether involving the brain, spinal cord, or optic nerves, that are separated in time and space. As far as symptoms of multiple sclerosis, symptoms of the disease are based on the systems involved. So psychiatric manifestations may include fatigue, depression, and/or mood disorders. Symptoms involving the central nervous system can include optic neuritis, diplopia, and nystagmus. ENT manifestations can include dysarthria and/or dysphagia. Musculoskeletal manifestations can include weakness, loss of balance and coordination, spasms, ataxia, and/or falls. Neurological manifestations may include paresthesias, hypoesthesia, and peculiar sensory phenomena, for example, the sensation of wetness. Gastrointestinal manifestations may include incontinence, diarrhea, and/or constipation. And finally, urological manifestations may include incontinence, frequency, and/or retention. On physical exam, inspection should assess for gait abnormalities, for example, a wide base gait, limb ataxia, or a slapping foot. An inspection should also evaluate for joint or muscle contractures. Neurological examination may reveal muscle spasticity, increased deep tendon reflexes, muscle weakness, and/or a positive Babinski. Special tests may include fundoscopy, which may reveal medial longitudinal fasciculus, or MLF syndrome, otherwise known as internuclear ophthalmoplegia. And finally, Lhermitte sign may be positive in these patients. As far as other types of evaluation in the setting of multiple sclerosis, let's go over laboratory studies and imaging studies that are typically ordered. As far as laboratory studies, CBC, electrolytes, TSH, and a comprehensive metabolic panel is typically ordered. This is used to exclude concomitant illnesses. However, these studies are usually normal. CSF analysis may reveal mononuclear pleocytosis in 25% of patients, elevated CSF IgG in 80% of patients, and oligoclonal bands on electrophoresis. Again, CSF analysis may reveal mononuclear pleocytosis in 25% of patients, elevated CSF IgG in 80% of patients, and oligoclonal bands on electrophoresis. As far as imaging studies, you should obtain an MRI with gadolinium of the brain and the spinal cord. Again, you should obtain an MRI with gadolinium of brain and the spinal cord when multiple sclerosis is suspected. Findings may reveal multiple focal demyelination scattered in the brain and the spinal cord, and or asymmetric periventricular plaques. Again, findings on MRI in the setting of multiple sclerosis includes multiple focal demyelination scattered in the brain and the spinal cord, as well as asymmetric periventricular plaques. The differential diagnosis for multiple sclerosis includes cervical myelopathy, a CNS mass lesion, vitamin B12 deficiency, sarcoidosis, and CNS infections. Treatment of multiple sclerosis is non-operative and can include immunomodulators, antispasticity agents, physiotherapy, and osteoporosis management. Immunomodulators are indicated as a treatment attempt to return function after an attack, prevent new attacks, and prevent disability. Specific modalities of immunomodulation include corticosteroids and prophylactic immunosuppressants such as interferon beta. Corticosteroids are indicated for acute exacerbations. Prophylactic immunosuppressants like interferon beta may decrease the number and severity of relapses and has been shown to decrease the progression of relapsing-remitting multiple sclerosis. Antispasticity agents are indicated for increased muscle tone with spasms. Specific modalities include oral agents like baclofen, gabapentin, and or clonazepam, as well as Botox injections. Physiotherapy is indicated to improve gait and balance, and specific modalities involve gentle stretching exercises for spasticity and progressive resistance training. Complications of multiple sclerosis include increased fracture risk and osteoporosis. As far as increased fracture risk, this is again related to increased risk of falling and decreased bone mineral density. And once again, osteoporosis in the setting of multiple sclerosis may be related to physical inactivity, vitamin D deficiency, and or immunomodulatory medications. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over one quick question to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. A 29-year-old female presents to your clinic for surgical evaluation referred by her family practitioner. She states that she has a history of left arm numbness that comes and goes and was told she had radiculopathy in the past. She recently completed a steroid taper pack, which provided moderate relief. On physical exam, she has decreased sensation in a non-dermatomal distribution involving most of her left arm. Left deltoid strength is 4 out of 5. Left biceps and triceps reflexes are 3+. She has a positive Hoffman sign bilaterally. A radiograph of her cervical spine is normal. On MRI, mid-sagittal T2 weighted images show multiple focal T2 enhancing lesions. What is the most appropriate next step in management? And the choices are 1, plasmapheresis and immunoglobulin administration, 2, laminoplasty, 3, lumbar magnetic resonance imaging, 4, neurology referral, and 5, B12 injections. The correct answer to this question is 4, neurology referral. So when a young female presenting with transient upper extremity neurological symptoms, upper motor neuron signs, and magnetic resonance imaging with multiple focal T2 enhancing cord lesions, the most likely diagnosis is multiple sclerosis. To quickly review, multiple sclerosis is an inflammatory disorder of the central nervous system causing demyelination and axonal injury. It is capable of producing both motor and sensory dysfunction. It mainly affects young females aged 20 to 40. Symptoms are most commonly described as remitting and relapsing and may include weakness, paresthesias, falls, incontinence, muscle spasms, fatigue, and optic neuritis. Physical exam may be significant for upper motor neuron findings, muscle weakness, and gait abnormalities. Workup includes labs, MRI of the brain and spinal cord, and cerebrospinal fluid analysis. Specific MRI findings include multiple sites of focal demyelination and asymmetric periventricular plaques. Corticosteroids are indicated for acute exacerbations. Kim et al. Performed a literature review of 35 studies focusing on the differential diagnosis of cervical spondylotic myelopathy. The most commonly reported differentials included amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or ALS, MS, syringomyelia, and spinal tumors. They conclude that physical exam findings should be correlated with plain radiographs, MRI, and a history to establish the correct diagnosis, and that electrodiagnostic studies and cerebrospinal fluid exam should be considered when the diagnosis is equivocal. Sarian et al. Provided a review article on the role of MRI in the diagnosis and treatment of MS. They comment on the role MRI has played in providing an earlier and more accurate diagnosis, as well as its role in prognostics and as a tool to evaluate the efficacy of experimental research trials. Specific MRI techniques for detecting MS include proton density, T1/T2 weighted images, and fluid attenuated inversion recovery sequences. Rovira et al. Provided a review article looking at the diagnostic features of MS and the differential diagnosis utilizing spinal MRI. Multiple sclerosis lesions typically are hyperintense on T2 imaging and are ring-enhancing on contrast-enhanced T1 imaging. They state that MS lesions are more commonly found in the cervical spine, typically present in the dorsolateral aspect of the spinal cord, are short segment, comprise less than half of the cross-sectional cord area, and are often associated with brain lesions. Other short-segment spinal cord lesions that mimic MS on MRI include autoimmune disorders, vascular disorders, bacterial and viral infections. That's all for this review about multiple sclerosis. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.